Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Anybody know how to play this game? Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians, pros. It's one-stop vehicle shopping. It is Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So I decided last night to watch the last three innings of the Mets-Yankees game. And when I was done, I spent half my time shaking my head. Does anybody here know how to play the game? We get to, let's see. There's a play at the plate. Nimmo goes, where am I? I'm going to go to third. Oh, I'm not going to go to third. Like, look, don't run yourself out of the inning. Like, figure out how to play here. Okay? Some common sense. Right, but now I'm watching late in the game, and the Mets get out of the top of the 10th inning, don't give up a run, so they have to put a runner on second. Okay. All right. And the And to me, at this point, hey, the game is tied. Bunt him to third. Okay, get him over there. Bunt him to third. Now he can score on a sacrifice fly. He can score in a tough infield play. He can score in a base hit. He can score in an error. He can score in a wild pitch. He can score in a pass ball. He can score in a balk. All right? You got 1,000 different ways to score from third with less than two outs. And the guy at the plate, I have no idea who it was. No idea. Okay. And they said, well, he was a middle of the order hitter in the minors. And he can't bunt. I'm like, you can't bunt? Anytime you take batting practice, at least when I was going through, when I was playing baseball, the first thing we had to do is we had to lay down two successful bunts.
Same here.
All right? And then, not just trying to show you can bunt, but, you want to see the bat hit the ball, a little hand eye, okay, now I'm seeing the ball. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to do it. Can't bunt. Naturally, of course, he strikes out. It doesn't matter. He makes no contact with the ball. It was brilliant. Great. Then Nimmo comes to the plate. Drives it deep to right field. This is where the comedy of errors begins. All right? First of all, it's a left-handed power hitter. And I don't know who the Yankee right fielder is. He's playing in. In for what? You're worried you're going to, you can't throw him out at the play? What, on a base hit? But that's a base hit. He's going to score. Come on. All right? But he's playing in. If he's playing normal depth, he catches the ball. So, okay, doesn't know how to play. Then the ball's hit over his head, and he just turns around and walks away. Doesn't know how to play. Okay? Flat out, just doesn't know how to play. All right? And then the guy at second base, instead of going halfway, goes 4 feet off the bag looking at it. Like, go halfway. Now the play becomes closer at the plate. Gleyber Torres, to his credit, backed it up. All right? Does anybody know how to play this game? It's the major leagues. It's stunning. Stunning. The base runner doesn't know how to play. The right fielder doesn't know how to play. The guy at the plate before him can't bunt, so he doesn't know how to play. And you're paying all this money to watch all these people who don't know how to play? The Mets won the game 4-3, but it was an embarrassment to the profession. Wow. Wow. Yeah, let's say hit the wall. That's it. Hit the wall. It did. What do you mean it's hit the wall? Say you pick the ball up and you hustle your backside off. You get the ball back in. You never know what's going to happen.
I know. I can't stand when players do that.
Well, you don't know how to play. He's mispositioned and he doesn't know how to play. That's your right fielder of the most overrated team in baseball the last 12 and a half years. The Dallas Cowboys of Major League Baseball. Okay? That's your right fielder. The guy running, I care, was it Escobar? I don't know who the heck.
Yeah, it was Escobar.
Right? Goes 2-3 feet off the bag. For what? Go halfway. Now, it's actually a race to the plate because he doesn't know how to play. Like, what are we doing here? Man, I sit there and I'm like, what is going on?
But this is also what happens when you have a half AAA roster right now. With
that
the
doesn't matter. AAA guys know how to play. Please stop with your half AAA roster and making excuses. Giancarlo Stanton's making $1 billion. Rizzo's making $1 billion. You want me to go through the roster of all the guys making money on your team?
Oh, no. I hear
right
you.
Now?
Yeah, they all stink
players.
Right now.
They aren't AAA players.
Yeah, they all stink right now, too.
Over,
I get it.
Your team is in a 12-and-a-half-year Dallas Cowboys slump where guess what? The Texas Rangers have been to the World Series twice, and you haven't been there.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with any of that.
Wait till we get Judge back. How many World Series at-bats does he have?
I'm not necessarily saying that either, but I'm just saying that this is where it is right now, and either way, it's an embarrassment for the Yankees.
Everybody, and guess what? Everybody's like that. Everybody's like that. Everybody is out there right now trying to fight through injuries with guys on the IL. That are playing with rosters that have guys on it that you have questions about. Right? It's not just your team. What do you think the Phillies are doing?
They're in a little better shape right now than the Yankees, but I get what you're saying.
They played for how long without Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I know. It was till what, mid-May?
Yeah, they played a long time without Bryce Harper. Okay? Yeah, it's like it's a lot of excuses for a franchise that has spent approximately $2.5 billion on payroll in 12 and a half years.
Like I said, I do not disagree.
Well, you can't. You have no choice. I mean, you can't defend that. Hey, you aren't the Tampa Bay Rays. They're getting more out of their payroll than you are yours. And they're getting more out of it than the Red Sox are. At least the Red Sox are 15th in payroll right now. mean, it just, you know. But I'm watching last night. I'm like, does anybody out here know how to play? I mean, my goodness. Now, I'll say this. IKF, great job on the stolen base of home.
Which absolutely.
Which again, he'll get some credit, but he's not. Now he's going to lose some credit, okay? What's the pitcher doing? He's right-handed. What's he doing?
I was thinking the same thing. Either way, he's halfway down the line. I had no idea what he was doing. He looked like Luis Severino two nights ago.
I mean, does anybody know how to play this game? I mean, I'm sitting here. You're asking people to pay money to watch this. I mean, they have to like take out a credit card. To watch millionaires, a lot of them are, play like that? Yikes.
What you saw from the Mets, though, in that particular part of the top of the seventh was complete panic because you had all the errors that they made. And so you had the error to second when IKF stole second. Then he gets to third, and then he stole home the way he did. It just like the Mets had no clue what was coming at him. And then you had the other error, too, that helped the Yankees score another run. Yeah, it was definitely sloppy last night. No question about it.
Sloppy? It's like. Hey, let me give you. I'll go in a different direction here. If you give me a choice between Ja Morant, Trae Young, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Jalen Brunson, which guy do I pick? And this is easy. It's not even close. And it's Jalen Brunson. Why? Jalen Brunson knows how to play basketball. He makes people around him better. He makes the right play. He makes the smart play. He also is the kind of guy that when it comes time that he feels like the smart play is him, he makes it and takes it. Right. The guy is a heck of a player. Heck of a player. And I sit there and it's like, I look at stuff like this and I keep saying to myself over and over again, I don't get what I'm seeing here. He can't bunt? What do you mean he can't bunt? He can't bunt? What? Well, you know, analytics says, I'm trying to win the game. I don't care what analytics says. I'm trying to win. It gives me my best chance of winning. And I've got a guy up there who can't bunt. Well, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. Does he want to be on a winning team? Does he want to win? Does he want to make himself better? Does he want to make himself more valuable? Or does he just want to do a launch angle? Because guess what? I saw him strike out in the three pitches. I didn't see any launch angle. Ay-yay-yay. Well, let's take the positive out of the game. Boone didn't get thrown out. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Your guy, Boone. It's your guy.
I haven't been a fan of his. He's not my guy.
He's your manager.
Yeah.
It's your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, give me a great athlete who can play. Ooh, that's special. Starling Marte. Big throw from right field. Throws it 5,000 miles over the, like, the head of the third baseman. I'm like, going, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Then again, he's the only major leaguer. Yeah, major leaguers come in for rehab. So he's on a rehab assignment with the State College Spikes. And you know what the what players do when they're on the rehab assignment? That they'll come in and they will...
Yeah, they typically buy.
Take care of the spread. I mean, and normally it's like... And every major leaguer I've been around that's come in here, they're like, wow, that's some spread. They like they went all out. He paid zero. We got his 0 for 4 left.
Yeah, that's a violation.
No words. No words. These are all your people. You know? I was kind of hoping the Rays would be on. I could watch some winning baseball in the American League East. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment over the Orioles. The Orioles are pretty good, and I like watching the Orioles. They're fun. Your team? Yeah, kind of overpaid. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The Dallas Cowboys have the night off. They go to Fenway next. I mean the Yankees.
That's
any
correct.
Difference? No difference. This is who you root for. This is the team you root for. This is your team. Yeah. How much money do you pay to watch that team play? Golly.
Actually, I didn't spend any when I went last year.
Oh, good. So smart move on your part. Cripe.
That was courtesy of Mom and Dad for an anniversary gift for Lisa and I.
Jeez, I'll tell you, you sit behind home plate at that stadium and, like, you know, you've had to have a mortgage.
That is true. And same goes at Citi Field, too.
Oh, Citi Field? I mean, they're ultra expensive. Unreal. Oh, well. Maybe on Friday night they'll throw to the right base. Maybe the right fielder won't just quit on the play. Maybe he'll actually position himself correctly to start.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. and a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. Easy to difficult, they take care of it. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. All right, let's bring in Scott Lauber now. It's always great to talk baseball with him. Scott, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Doing really well today. The Phillies are playing better. It's not perfect, but they're playing better. Why? I think we lost Scott there for a moment. Scott?
I can hear you.
Okay, there you go. The Phillies are playing a little bit better right now. Why?
For me, it all comes back to starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a little while there, we were a little distracted because Trey Turner's slump lasted longer than anybody expected, and Schwarber was hitting 170, and it was Memorial Day, and everybody was wondering what was going on there, and would he come around? But to me, the offense was always going to score runs. Turner was not going to be that bad long. June was right around the corner, and we know what happens to Schwarber in June. He turns into Babe Ruth, right? So I thought that the offense would be just fine. I think the key to the whole thing has been back-to-back really good starts from Zach Wheeler. Four, Ranger Suarez. Back-to-back good starts from Taijuan Walker. So the rotation is kind of steadied itself, and I think, you know, it's no coincidence that with that they've won 9 out of 11 and gotten back to 500. I think it all starts with the rotation, and I think ultimately that's what's going to get them on the kind of roll they need to get on. You know, 18 out of 22, or you know, something like that, to kind of climb right back to where they want to be, sort of in a more of a pole position to try to win the wild card or climb back into the division race with Atlanta.
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, to me the most important thing is just get into the tournament, then you can do some damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Phillies proved that last year, especially with this third wild card. And we could get into the trade deadline, which is coming up in 7 weeks, and why it, you know, it's shaping up to be, from everyone I talk to, quite a seller's market, because, you know, I think you have a lot of teams out there who look at the 2022 Phillies and say, like, we could do that. I mean, we could be the last team in and make a run, you know, and if we're close in the wild card, you know, it pays to stay in it and maybe try to add and not subtract. And there are a lot of teams that are hovering right around that last wild card right now, who think that they can do that. So, absolutely, getting in the tournament is really all that counts. And, you know, I mean, sure, you'd like to set up your rotation and get everything squared away so that you can win that first round and keep going. But, you know, getting in is the hard part. And if you can survive the 162 games and get in, you know, the Phillies showed last year that, you know, anything can happen in a short tournament.
Has the bullpen, and I'm talking about innings 6 through 8, has that become any better?
Yeah, I mean, look, I for me, the bullpen has been, and maybe this is sort of damning them with faint praise, but I mean, I think the bullpen has been the strength of the team, or at least the most consistent part of the team for most of the year. The offense has come and gone a bit, certainly a bit more than expected, and the rotation, you know, had some issues earlier on, and, you know, still does with the fifth starter being unsettled. But look, I think more often than not, you know, some combination of Alvarado, Kimbrel, Soto, and Dominguez is going to get outs late in games for them. And, you know, look, I know that last night Dominguez struggled, gave up the tying home run. They had to win it in the ninth. You know, and so they've all had some moments here or there, maybe with the exception of Alvarado. They've all had some moments here or there where they've struggled a bit. But, you know, Kimbrel's pitched really well, really now for the last month and a half or so. Alvarado is back from his injury. He missed a month. He is back now, and, you know, if last night was any indication, throwing as hard as ever. I mean, I think he was, you know, 100 and 101 pretty much on every pitch last night in the ninth inning. So he was clearly kind of amped up. I think Soto has been you know, more good than bad. Same overall with Dominguez, more good than bad. So I think that foursome at the back is how they're going to get the last, you know, couple of innings of games figured out. And then, you know, I think they've got what they consider to be some flexibility in the middle. You know, they've gotten surprising performances from people like Andrew Vasquez and Jeff Hoffman, you know, people that they didn't really count on earlier on in the year. In Hoffman's case, you know, he was in AAA, didn't even come to spring training with them. They acquired him after spring training. And, you know, so, I mean, they've gotten some surprising contributions there in the middle. But really, I think what you're talking about are those power guys at the back. And, you know, I think they have more depth there than most teams.
Baseball in general question here. It does go a little bit to the Phillies. But you'll get to points now where they'll say it's a bullpen game tonight. Even in the playoffs, it's a bullpen game today. Why can't teams find fifth starters any longer?
It's a good question. You know, I mean, look, I think that some teams just feel like the bullpen strategy every fifth day makes sense for them. I don't. I mean, look, JT Realmuto said it the other night. He said, the hard part about a bullpen game is that you're asking five, six pitchers to all be on at the same, you know, on the same night. That's not always going to happen. In fact, most of the time, it's not going to happen. So, you know, to me, the traditional way to win a game, to send your starting pitcher out there, have them give you some distance as much as they can, and then turn the game over to the bullpen is still a tried and true way of trying to win. I think the Phillies, probably, if we're being honest here, I think they miscalculated a little bit. I think they thought coming out of last season that they could fill out the back of their rotation internally, whether it was with Andrew Painter, whether it was with Bailey Falter, Christopher Sanchez, maybe even, you know, Griff McGarry. What has happened is some of those guys got hurt, in Painter's case and Sanchez's case. In spring training, he was beat up a little bit and didn't really have a full spring. In some cases, they've underperformed badly, like in Falter's case. So, you know, they just didn't have as much depth as they thought they had, and they miscalculated. So unless you're going to go and sign a veteran guy to be your quote-unquote fifth starter for $10 or $12 million, which they didn't see the need to do. I mean, they could have gone and found this year's Kyle Gibson, right, who signed for $10 million with the Orioles and, you know, gives you innings at the back of your rotation. They decided not to do that. They thought they'd have the depth, and they miscalculated. Other teams just feel like it makes more sense for them to kind of stockpile as many arms as they can and get through games that way. So, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'd much rather have five guys I know I can trust. I'd really rather have six or seven guys that I know I can trust throughout the year. I just think it makes it a whole lot easier to get through that fifth day when you've got a real starting pitcher.
I agree with you completely. You brought up Schwarber, and yes, Schwarber turns into Babe Ruth at a certain point, but he'd been hovering mostly around 170, 180 to this point while still hitting home runs. What has been just a bit off with him in terms of the all-around approach at the plate? Because the home runs are there.
Yeah, it's he's had a really weird year because the home runs are there. So are the walks. You know, his walk rate is higher than it's been in most years in his career. So what it tells me is he's still hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He's still drawing his walks. So I guess he's making less contact overall. And we know that to be true because he just hasn't gotten as many hits. Some of it's been bad luck. You know, I haven't looked in the last week or so, but when I looked last week, he had the lowest batting average on balls in play of any qualified hitter, you know, hitter with enough at-bats to qualify for the batting title. He was hitting like 170 on balls in play. That tells me he's hitting some bad luck. You know, he's hit the ball right at people. He's hit it hard. His contact rate, or I should say his hard hit rate, is still relatively high, which tells me that he's barreling the ball, but they're just not falling for hits. You'd like to think that that would sort of equalize at the end of the year, you know, that they do start to fall for him. I'm a little bit surprised, and I wrote about this last week, that the lack of, you know, the removal of the shift has not resulted in more hits for him. And I think talking to him and in talking to their hitting people, Kevin Long and Rob Thompson, the manager, you know, it may be that he's just not the type of hitter who's going to benefit from, you know, taking a guy out of shallow right field, because Schwarber is not a dead pole hitter. He does hit the ball up the middle. He does hit the ball to all fields. He also does not hit the ball on the ground a whole lot, nor do I think you want him to hit the ball on the ground a lot. So he's not going to hit a whole lot of balls that sneak through that four hole and go for a hit that otherwise would have been gobbled up by an extra defender on that side. So he hasn't benefited from the shift. He's hitting to some bad luck. And, you know, but they've thought all along, the fact that the walk rate is up, the fact that he's still hitting the ball out of the ballpark, that those are good signs, and that, you know, ultimately it'll turn for him. I mean, it's middle of June, right? So he's not going to end up hitting, you know, 250, 260 and having a year where you look back and you go, wow, the batting average was there. But if the on-base percentage stays high, if the hard hit rate stays high, I think it's going to turn a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that average creep up, you know, closer to 200, a little over 200, and have a little bit more of a representative Schwarber kind of year.
Obviously, you saw a lot of Trey Turner when he was with the Nationals. Now you get to see him on an everyday basis. How has he been?
You know, I mean, look, if we're grading on a, you know, overall scale, it's been disappointing, right? I mean, it's been not what they expected. It's been a whole lot better lately. You know, I think lately you've seen him be more of the dynamic player that you've known him to be over the years. You know, he's running more. That was kind of the real mystery to me, and I think we've talked about this, is that he wasn't running a lot earlier in the year, and I know he wasn't getting on base as often as he normally does, which is the biggest reason probably why the steal total was down. But, you know, even when he was on base, he wasn't running quite as often. I think some of it had to do with the fact that he had Harper hitting behind him. When Harper was hurt and still out, he had Schwarber hitting behind him. So there were situations where he didn't want to run because he wanted to keep that hole open on the right side of the field for those guys to hit the ball through. So, I mean, there's been some, you know, there's been, it's fallen a little bit short overall, but like lately and over the last couple of weeks, it's been much more the kind of player that that they've known. Like, I don't think this was ever a, you know, Nick Castellanos 2.0 situation from last year where, you know, where Turner felt uncomfortable here, or he felt, you know, ill at ease for whatever reason, whether it was the contract or anything. He never got that sense from him. If anything, I thought he blended well into the clubhouse in spring training. I thought, you know, he had a lot of familiar faces here, guys who he's played with before, like Harper, guys who he's played for, like Kevin Long in Washington was his hitting coach. So I think he's felt comfortable. He just hasn't played well until the last couple of weeks. And I think maybe that's starting to turn. And you know, that can only be a good thing for the Phillies overall moving forward.
Finally, Scott, you and I have been around a lot of players during the course of our careers where, you know, look, they're tough guys no matter what. They're going to get themselves out there and play. And then you and I have been around guys where, gee, I feel a twinge, I can't go tonight. And the twinge lasts for weeks.
Okay. Sure.
And then there's Bryce Harper.
Right.
What can you say about Harper, and what has his level of performance been? Because let's face it, he's still trying to fight through something.
Well, I think the biggest thing he's trying to fight through is rust. You know, he didn't have a spring training. So he kind of warned about that, you know, in terms of coming back. Like, I remember in April having a conversation with him in Cincinnati, and it really hadn't crystallized yet that he was going to beat the timeline by as much as he did. I think he was just starting to hit on the field. You know, you could tell that he was getting closer, but we didn't know it was going to be that close. And he said, like, I think that was when he, you know, we talked a little bit about the idea of going out on a rehab assignment. He said he didn't want to do that because he felt like when he was ready, he wanted to just jump right in and play. He didn't feel like he needed or wanted to go down to AAA and, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, just waste time getting at bats down there. Like, he felt like, if I can play, I want to play with the Phillies and try to help them win right away, which is what he did, right? I mean, no spring training, no rehab assignment. You know, I think back to that night in Los Angeles when he came back, comes back to face Julio Urias, who is as tough a lefty as there is in the National League. I think he went 0-for-4 and struck out three times and looked very jumpy and was swinging in a lot of pitches. And then, you know, the next night he comes out and he gets on base five times, and I think he had 3 or 4 hits. And, you know, you're like, is this guy even a human? You know, how is it possible that he's doing this? So, I mean, I think that there's been, not that dramatic, but, you know, there's been some inconsistency from game to game because he's still kind of working his way back. He's essentially a month and a half into his year. So, you know, he's probably, you know, he's you know, if this was, if you could transpose, the, you know, the at-bats that he's had and put them into a normal year, he's like a few weeks into the season in a normal year. So I think he's still going through some of that. But, you know, look, he's obviously an elite player, an elite hitter. Scott Boras likes to call him a centurion, which I believe means one of the 100 best to ever do it or to ever do something. You know, and he might be. He might be that good. He's probably a Hall of Famer. He's on course to be a Hall of Famer. You know, and so what we're seeing him do, the degree of difficulty is pretty high. And I think overall it's been good. Now the question now is, you know, can they get him on the field to play a position, and when will that happen? And, you know, that's not something that they're going to rush through. He does do his work every day at first base, which it looks like maybe where he comes back to when he does come back, mm-hmm. and come back to play first base. And, you know, the last thing they want to do, though, is rush that process and then he has some sort of setback and then he can't hit. So they don't want to take any chances. They don't want to move too quickly. Maybe sometime after the All-Star break, you know, he'll be able to kind of, you know, accelerate the throwing program and throw to bases and stuff like that, and then get out there, play a position. It would enable them to DH Schwarber. It would enable them to maybe look in a lot of different areas when it comes to the trade deadline. Now maybe they can look at a corner outfielder, or they can look, you know, in a lot of different places. So that's the next hurdle to clear. But, yeah, I mean, I think overall they'd have to say they're thrilled to have him back, to have him hitting at the level that he's hitting at, and to be in the middle of that lineup. You know, when they talked about when he had the surgery and they talked about, you know, he'd be back by the All-Star break, you think about it, we're in the middle of June, and there was a time we were wondering if he'd be back by now. So not only is he back, he's been back for over a month, month and a half now, and, you know, I think overall they're pretty thrilled with how it's all gone.
That's why he's a star. He wants to be out there. Scott, always a pleasure. Love your work. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
Scott Lauber. Your guy's out with a twinge, right?
No, that was standing. Judge was out because he actually made a nice play and just was a little unfortunate there.
Why was he out the other time?
All right, that one might have been a twinge.
No, I'm kidding you. I'm kidding. All I know is Ohtani's out there every day hitting home runs. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Whew, boy. Orioles won today, by the way. Beat Toronto 4-2, take 2 out of 3 in the series. Orioles are playing 627 baseball. 627. But what's their, in all seriousness, what's their payroll? Is it 60? 65?
I'm sure it's pretty low. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up in the break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Orioles payroll is 29th in baseball. $45 million on the 26-man roster. They have $14 million on injured reserve. They have $6.6 million on retained, $747,000 is buried. Total payroll, $67 million. They're 29th. The A's are dead last, by the way, at $42 million on the 26th and $59 million overall. Who's number one?
That would be the New York Yankees.
It's the Mets.
Okay.
The Yankees are second. The Mets, everything put together, okay, the $344 million. The Yankees, everything put together, $280 million. And they can't run the bases.